May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to St. Andrew's. Happy New Year. And as I've said, let us hope, for whatever reasons, that 2017 is a better year than 2016. Each of us might have details to fill in on that sentiment. I know I do. But may abundant life increase among us. So we come to this first Sunday after Christmas, and the traditional readings include what we heard, what is known as the prologue to the Gospel of John. This great statement from the Gospel of John that in so many ways summarizes some of John's theology and gives us yet another way of interpreting Jesus in his relationship to God. You know, as we've been kind of running through in this Christmas season, Paul and the Gospel of Mark know nothing of Jesus' birth or his origins and are not concerned with that. Matthew and Luke give the detailed birth stories, but they're very different. And then when we get to the Gospel of John, the latest of the Gospels to be written, we get the most sort of cosmological sense, the sense of Jesus in his relation to creation, where you get, and of course, creation is so clearly echoed in the very beginning words. In the beginning was the Word, which echoes the story that we hear in Genesis of the creation of the world. And we get this sense that this John alone works with this sense of the Word of God. In Greek, it's the Logos of God. And we might think of it as the creative impulse. And the Gospel of John actually suggests, it seems to my ear, that God's very nature, how we understand God, cannot be understood apart from God's creative energy. And John says, and in Jesus, the creative energy that caused all things to come to be, this creative energy was at work in Jesus. It defined who Jesus was. It made him who he was. And he lived from that creative energy through all the moments of his life. The Word becoming flesh and living among us. And so that was Jesus, it defined who Jesus was. The creative energy of God that brings forth creation and suggests that creation itself cannot be understood apart from God's ongoing sustenance. There have been so many theologies that just looks at creation or nature, as it would be called in a more secular context, as just a, running sort of mechanically on its own. And for us, it is this sacred adventure that is sustained and animated by God's power. And a couple of things about this. I love the suggestions of universality in the Gospel of John, in the prologue. The Hebrew people struggled with God being only a tribal God. Our God. He has revealed to us and has not done so to any of the other nations. And there is always that tension when God's nature is spoken of as universal, the light that enlightens everyone, all of creation. When we translate that to human terms, we usually think of human power or a human organization or institution having, in a sense, sway over the whole world. And because of our tangled relationship with power, I don't think that metaphor works very well. And I think maybe something like we hear in the book of Revelation, where in the New Jerusalem, there is no religion. There are no priests, because God is, that God sustains all things is clearly visible and experienced, and everyone is illuminated from within by the sustaining presence of God. So that's sort of that sense of the universality, and we're working toward it. We're not quite there yet. I think we would all agree. The Gospel of John is clearly trying to establish Jesus in his relation to, and being the incarnate Word in human terms. I sometimes wonder if all creatures have their equivalent of Jesus, and that God's fullness is brought to all creatures. But in human terms, we look to Jesus for the fullness of the Word made flesh. The lessons today, I think, point us in a sort of a parallel direction, which is to reflect on our human place in creation. And what we hear today, especially in the Psalm and in Galatians, is, I think, a really important reminder for us as we begin the new year. These when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what is the human being that you should seek us out? You have made us but a little lower than the angels. You have given us mastery over the works of your hands and put all things under our feet. Which is to say, we as human beings are established here within God's creation as stewards. And we have been given a place of incredible dignity, which we so often forget. Human beings in so many classical theological treatises are accused of being proud and that we think too highly of ourselves. I think we might better understand our plight as human beings as sort of braggadocio. You know, we put on a brave face, but inwardly, we're really very, very frightened creatures. And why are we so frightened? Well, part of it just has to do with the nature of our human consciousness. You know, I get the sense that other creatures follow what we might call a kind of an instinct, and they do what they do without too many questions. And we are so full of questions that we're just overwhelmed. And chief among them is, what in the world are we doing here? And what are we to make of this life? And there's even another element that I've sort of leapt out at me during the reading of John's prologue. The Word becoming flesh. You've heard that we are made in the image of God. And, you know, it would be an interesting conversation to sort of stop the service and ask everybody here, what do you think that means? And, you know, quite clearly, it is not a physical image. And what occurred to me in these reflections is that as God is described as the Word becoming flesh, and that is the process of creation, it's quite clear that we do that too. When we build a human world, everything that we build, everything that we make, begins as a thought, begins as an idea, begins, which is to say, in the immaterial realm. It begins in our imagination, and we bring that forth out of ourselves and give it flesh. The Word becomes flesh through our activities. And we incarnate in the world the structures, the things, the materials, the tools, the everything that we make begins as an idea, as an imagination, as an image, as a thought, and we bring it forth. And maybe this is one way to speak of ourselves as being made in the image of God. The trouble, or one of the many troubles that seems to sort of dog our steps, is that it has to do with what we bring forth, what we bring forth into the world. And as we look at the world, and as we look at the armies, and we look at the powerful institutions, and we look at the injustice of the world, and the violence of the world, it's very clear that so much of what we incarnate, the word that comes forth from us, that becomes flesh, and then shapes the world, that those things that we bring forth out of us are compromised. We bring forth and incarnate in the world our fear, our suspicion, our desires for power, our desires for acquisition, our plundering of the world. You know, we get the idea that the world is there for our taking. And just as a parenthetical note, when we look at our human condition, I want to hold up before us with some regularity how rare is the Hebrew vision. You know, the Greeks had a vision of the gods, and I often think of the figure of Prometheus, who stole fire from the gods to benefit humanity, but was punished by the gods, you know, punished forever, because the gods didn't want human beings to be empowered. And compare that to the gospel, like the end of that, one of my favorite passages in the Gospel of Luke, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Well, Jesus ends that passage by saying, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To give you the kingdom. Which is to say, we belong here, as we so often forget. We are already animated from within by the Word of God that has become flesh in us. If we would only listen to it, if we would only listen to it and begin to let our lives be shaped by what we learn from God's creative energy and the teachings that would remind us of God's creative energy. Not much of the world that we bring forth reflects anything of what we know of God. And it reflects so much more of what we see of ourselves in the mirror. And yet the promise is open to us, the possibility that we, you know, the light has come into the world that enlightens all people. And we are sort of the advance guard. We are those who are at least consciously trying to listen to that word that dwells within us and ask and listen, what is it asking us to bring forth? Are we incarnating from our imaginations into the flesh of the world? Are we incarnating justice and truth and love? Or are we bringing forth yet more polarized division, violence, exclusion, the world that we know so well, the world of violence and deceit? Let us, with this new year, at least consider the possibility that is before us, that in our imago Dei, the image of God, that we too bring forth an incarnate world and create it. Let it be the world that we have learned from Jesus. Let it be the world that whispers to us from our own heart that it does not need to be this way, that there is enough for all to share. There is abundant life for all. But we, as God's co-creators of life on this little planet, we who must bring forth the structures within which we live, we must bring forth a world that is congruent with our deepest hopes and our deepest truths and what we know of God and of love. May it be so in the year of our Lord, 2017. May it be so. Amen.